Littman Crooks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of the Littman Crooks podcast. Our guest today is David Cott, and David is quite an innovator in the disability community. And I'll let him tell you a little bit about himself. But basically, his endeavor is autism at face value. And David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lenny.
It's my pleasure, and I didn't want to steal your thunder, but tell us what you do and how you got involved in doing it.
Sure. Well, I'm the founder and scriptwriter for Autism at Face Value. We recently released issue one of Face Value Comics. It's the first comic book to feature a family-friendly hero with autism. And we wanted this to be done because we believe that all kids need heroes like themselves. Currently looking at the comic book market, despite problems with education and reading standards, kids still read comic books, and relatively it's an expensive venture for most parents and kids with their own allowance monies and chore monies to be able to pick up a comic book. What we did with the comic book was pretty unique. Looking out there, I was kind of surprised that there weren't already heroes with autism, that the marketplace, I think, is primed and ready for that, especially for kids. There are no mainstream resources for a typical kid to pick up something and learn about autism, either what it is or what it isn't. And this is one way that we can kind of bridge that gap. But more importantly, we also want to teach and build empathy for all of our readers, not just the autistic audience. We work on some of the science that I have been researching as a PhD student in psychology, working with persons with autism, to develop understanding of facial feature recognition. That might be pretty basic to understand that some people look angry and you may not want to have a discussion with them, or that someone may be feeling sad and how to comfort them. But by freeze framing an expression, kind of a universal expression, there are certain ways the facial muscles pull and contort to showcase different emotions that are universally the same, whether you're male, female, young or older, living in Australia or Alaska. Those micro expressions or quick flashes of anger or sadness or surprise are biologically encoded for everyone. Being able to spot them, to understand them, is what we want the people to understand. We freeze frame an expression on the static page, use speech bubbles and thought bubbles so readers can clearly understand what that character is feeling. We're very much aware, we try to avoid things like I'm upset, because that denotation could be either I'm angry or I'm sad. So we want kids to have a clear understanding of what emotions are. And the comic book, as well as the captions that we place throughout the story, help place everything in context. So we see a character getting angry and getting upset. How did he become that way? What could he have done? And then what were the consequences of how he handled that situation? In the comic book, too, we also have activity pages. Think back to the typical Highlights for Children fun activity pages. We have those parts throughout the comic book as well, so readers can sit with their parents, teachers, doctors, therapists, or other helpers, and have a discussion about what bullying is and how people can be similar more than they can be different. So we want to kind of reinforce those kind of positive ideas in a comic book. And that's where we are now, and it's now gone worldwide. And with our partnership with Diamond Comic Distributors, we were able to meet a lot of our fans' needs anywhere in the world.
So who is your target reader? Is it a child with disabilities, or is it a mainstream population?
Actually, Bernie, the population that we want to read this comic book are both. With Diamond helping us with marketing, they're going to be directly marketing schools and educators because of the educational merit on building empathy and understanding social skills in a fun way. That's going to be one of the main focuses for our reach and audience, so that kids with or without autism can begin to understand a little bit about what some of the situations that our characters have and experience, how they overcome them, and what that is. For a lot of people, despite large steps being taken towards mainstream inclusion for kids with autism, it's not complete yet. The advocacy and fighting for a typical experience, whether education or in the workplace, still goes on. So sometimes all that a typical kid may understand about a person with autism is that they have that classroom down at the end of the hall and they don't see them all day. What do they do? What goes on? And why are they in that room? And why are they different like me? This is one way we can help break some of those stereotypes, some of those questions, because sometimes kids don't always know what questions to ask or how to ask them in a polite and respectful way to get the most information that they're really looking for having. As well as parents, too, we want them to understand that while our version of autism is just one story, we hope that some people might find something in it that speaks to them along their journeys, wherever that might be. We were able to listen to some fans' feedback, and they wanted a female character with autism. So I guess it wasn't good enough that we had one character with autism. We introduced Myra in issue number 2 that's off to print right now. So we'll get to see Myra because she's nonverbal and will present some unique challenges that our fans and our readers have been really responsive, and this is something that a lot of people want.
Well, thanks to people like you, the gaps are narrowing, but I agree there's still much work to do. How do you approach schools to get comic books to be part of the curriculum or to get the teachers to encourage kids to read comics?
Right now it's been a lot on an individual basis. We've been letting the schools kind of contact us, and this may be an absolutely terrible business model. But again, I just read comic books, I guess. No, but in all seriousness, everybody has been largely coming to us, wanting to work with us, and it's just been so much easier for people to come to me, come to an organization and say, this sounds like a really great idea. Nobody's doing anything like it, so I have no idea where to begin, but I would like to be able to use parts of this in our schools. Can you help us, Dave? And then it's just largely me sitting down and talking with them either by phone or even locally and visiting with them to talk a little bit about what their current educational model is, what downtimes they have. And it's also been helpful to talk to staff. One thing that we included in the comic book for Michael, our character with autism, we included a robotic helper, Tess is her name, and it's a nod to the therapeutic support staff, or TSSs, that typically help a lot of kids with some unique challenges. So just talking to staff and talking with people, we typically can come up with a great idea and a plan that can work with our schools. Brooks Publishing approached me and asked me if I'd be interested in working out a definitive curriculum with ideas and schedules and material specifically to be used, springboarding off of what we're done with the comic book. And I'll be meeting with them here shortly to finalize the deals with that, with editing and more research. It's just been nuts, Bernie, but not the kind of nuts that people are allergic to, so I think that's good.
Tell me a little bit about the storyline in the comic.
Sure. We said it in the future. I think it's like 2072. We mankind has understood a lot of their mistakes. They celebrated the 100th anniversary of the nuclear bomb and said, we can't do this anymore. We're damaging our environment and damaging our people. So what we see in the future is that mankind has kind of unified itself a lot, got very positive. We found cures for lots of diseases, cured poverty and hunger and lots of homelessness. But the one thing that we still fight against is prejudice and misunderstanding. All of these good things have kind of set us up for a galactic invasion. We're kind of ripe for the picking against a very evil and emotionless megalomaniac. He wants to take over the world and just be the ruler, the overlord, believes that mankind is too emotional and therefore a threat. So Michael and his school-age friends are trying to go to school with the possible threats of war looming, but they still go on some fun adventures as kids often do, going out in the forest and finding things. And that's where we find Michael and his friends in issue one. We introduce our characters, give them a little bit of definition about their personality, and set up a little bit about what the bad guys are doing too in the whole world scheme. But throughout the whole story arc, we've got a lot of plans in the future. This is more than a one-trick pony or a simple one-shot comic book to get a feel-good impression. We're very serious about not only having a positive educational message, but also staying true to our comic book roots. We wanted to make a family-friendly comic book that followed the old, the antiquated comic book code authority rules, where we don't show lots of violence. We're very respectful of institutions and organizations and their roles on promoting a healthy society. All those rules from the 1950s and such that made things very sanitized. And we're hoping that kids and their parents can happily read this comic book together without having to chuck it under the bed or in a book bag quick because mom's coming down the hallway. We want people to be talking about what autism is and their own experiences with it.
You know, I could see, Dave, how this book would benefit typical kids in helping breaking down the biases and the prejudices that still exist, unfortunately. But how could a child with DD or autism who may not be able to read, how could a child like that benefit from your work?
That's a great question. There's two things that a person who's not ready to read or may have some difficulty with the words and vocabulary can do and can benefit from this. One is that bonding time with a caregiver, a loved one, to read the comic book together, to have those fun stories, just like his or her friends may be hearing stories of knights and princesses and Spider-Man and Wonder Woman going into fun adventures. They can hear a story about an individual who is much like themselves in some regards. So there's that bonding time, reading stories to kids. That's good. But then, two, the facial features and understanding those. I worked really well with our artist to focus on the facial features. Some of my certification and training is I'm a certified expert for the facial action coding system, or FACS. That is a certain taxonomy, or a special way of coding how facial muscles pull in response to different emotions in the subconscious or conscious. So I worked really hard with our artist to make sure that his angry face really showed all of the hallmarks from facial musculature, even to the way the character looked, the glares and things of that nature. So we want kids to be able to pick those up very easily, very quickly in our comic book. So seeing faces, again, in different expressions, as well as the gradual progression. Most people don't go from a calm, flat face to angry, spittle coming out of mouth, red face in a few seconds. There's a build-up and a progression, even if it's a fast one. And kids can see that build-up and progression, too, on the page. They can turn the page back and look at it again and again at their leisure. But those are two opportunities for them as well.
So are you a psychologist or a sociologist by training?
I've been a professional therapist for a long time and a professional student, I think, maybe even longer. I'm a few classes short of my PhD in psychology. Those terrible statistics classes, I tend to think that all statistics are 50-50. It either happens or it doesn't, but most of my professors don't share my viewpoint.
It's funny, when I was in college, I loved the math and statistics classes, and I could never understand the sociology and psychology ones. I didn't understand what relevance it had to the rest of my life, and now as I got older, I realized that that's actually more important.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting at this point where, talking to some universities about continuing education, and I'm like, these statistics classes, look, at this point, where I am professionally, the depth and high level of statistics that we need, we're doing a comic book, so I'm not sure I need to know the specific statistical significance of the comic book. itself. Some of those things, I guess, sometimes escape or elude me. I'm sure there's some positive things that I could learn, and I'm always willing to learn. Statistics, though, is going to be a painful experience for me. I tend to read a lot more of other journals and articles and try to keep up to date with a lot of the best practices. That's probably one of the most unique things about this experience is by connecting with fans and other professionals who are really interested in what we're doing and how we're doing it so they can replicate something like it, has really opened my perspective on best practices and what advocacy really can be. It's one thing to say that I've got a good handle on my own local area and such, but it's another thing to know what some of the best practices are in Germany or in the Middle East, or from Australia, the United Kingdom, to see what other people are doing for autism awareness, to see what it means really to be an advocate and to fight for some basic rights, and then to see the same people whom I respect turn around and offer me compliments about what we're doing. I sit back and I think to myself, no, wow, thank you. I genuinely appreciate what you're doing and what you're saying. And you know, it's a comic book, right? I still can't quite kind of get over it. I've learned so much being a professional helper, learned so much being an academic student that seemed like forever. I've learned so much having understood my own diagnosis of autism and what that means. I'm still learning, and it's an amazing opportunity to meet so many great people and to hear stories from fans. As much as I am impressed to hear that a certain professor or a certain doctor from a certain place sends a congratulatory email and wants to learn more, I am quite honestly more impressed when fans are able to knock out a small thank you note, because inevitably it is a window into their lives. I think one of my favorite fan emails was one from the United Kingdom. A young man was nonverbal, and he saw our Facebook page, and his mom videotaped him looking at our Facebook page, and then he pointed to it and then to himself. He understood what we're doing. He understood that we were trying to make a comic book hero for fans like him. One thing I've been braced for was some of the art that we use in the comic books. On page 6, we turned the page upside down. It looks like a printing mistake, but it was done intentionally. We like to break the fourth wall and actually talk to readers and talk to caregivers a little bit too. And this is a good case in point. On page 6, Michael is upside down on his way to school. Nothing magically changes with Michael. There's no new secret words or phrases or things to be identified in the picture. But readers literally have to change their perspective on how they thought to look at a person with autism. So it's things like that we do. In the comic book, Michael is surprised for a moment when they find an alien spaceship, and he flaps his arms in the comic book. And when I gave the direction for the artist to do that, I pulled from the Diagnostics and Statistics Manual, as well as my own experience in knowing that some individuals with autism self-stimulate, that flapping the arms and doing those things are clinically and accurately representative of that population. But we also wanted to do it with respect. We also wanted to say that some of those situations are just... they're different, and it's okay to be different, and the best way to do it, to tackle it, would be come right out and copy, cut and paste from real life situations what some people with autism do and how they react. I like to lean a little bit on my own experience, personally as well as professionally. A lot of individuals that I've met on the spectrum too, they've all kind of bled in at some point to learn a unique perspective on their journey with autism along the way, which helps me write better.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you for your time. Our guest for this podcast has been Dave Cott, who founded this amazing organization, Autism at Face Value, and is doing really super work. Dave, we appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks so much, Brittany. I really appreciate your time, too.
Until next time, everybody, this has been the Littman Crooks Podcast. Good day, everyone.